brother. Nice to see you. Boy, God's doing things. So much. So good to see you this morning. I love that last song. When we consider the vastness of our God, and we are able to sit around a table with the King of the universe. Wow. What's our sermon today? Oh, I want to know what love is. I don't. I know. And most of you know. But many that we run into every day have no idea what love is. You have some sermon notes there. You may have picked them up on the way in. And the first question is, trivia question, who sang this song and what year did they sing it? And the song was a song that was popular, made number one on the charts in 1 year. And everybody in unison said, well, Foreigner sang that, Pastor. We know that. Yeah, you do because I told you, Dana. But you knew before also. And that was 1984 when it was written and 1985 when it hit the charts. You know, and as I was thinking about this month is going to be a fun month. This is Valentine month. This is the month of love. These are boxes, and of the ones I didn't eat out of, they're filled with chocolate. The other ones, who knows how much chocolate's left in those. And, you know, that's kind of synonymous with this month, that heart with the chocolates in it. You know, isn't that cool? And as we think about love and those songs that we sang this morning, you know, about Christ's love and what has happened, what he's done for us, we can sit here and say, I want to know what love is. You can say, I know. I know what love is. And we know what heavenly love is. And most of us know what earthly love is. We've received it from parents, perhaps from a spouse. And sometimes our children even act like they love us. That's kind of cool when that happens. And so we can begin this month, February, talking about the phases of love. You know, and I believe that my dog Lily loves me. I do. And she comes and she gives me hugs. And this morning, men of a certain age and certain girth often wear pants that are elastic. So they don't have to put a belt on. Right? Some of you guys say, no, I don't know about that. You might, Arch, but I don't. You know, and I often don't wear a belt because this will happen, won't it? Sandy will say, you missed a loop. And it's the one way in the back on this side. You got to take your belt all the way off and put it all the way back on again. This morning, Lily is sitting in the room when I'm putting my slacks on. I go to put my belt on. She sits and points like, you missed a loop. No, she didn't really. That was just, I thought would be kind of cute to say. But, you know, I know Sandy loves me because of the little things, too. You know, you missed a loop. Why did she say that? So I don't go out in public and look dorky. I'm dorky enough. I don't need that, you know. And so from the little to the medium to the great things that we do for each other, the scripture tells us how to do it and how to love. And this morning, what I want to concentrate on is we that know what love is, how we tell others. How we share that love with those around us. Let me read you. These are the words of the first verse of this song. Now this mountain I must climb feels like the world upon my shoulders. But through the clouds I see love shine. It keeps me warm when life grows colder. In my life there has been heartache and pain. I don't know if I can face it again. I can't stop now. I've traveled so far to change this lonely life. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. You know, the world out there is going through this. I was thinking about the 60s through the 80s and those things that were going on in the world, and now we're in the 2021, and we know the things that are going on around us. And back during that time, everyone thought they knew what love was, especially in the 60s when I was a kid, man. you know, hey, peace. You know, a headband, and I had long hair for a little while, not too long because it's ratty, you know, and a little beard for a while. I was cool. Hey, peace. You know, and I could do that. I could do both fingers at one time. Peace to you. Hey, peace to you, brother. Hey, far out, man. And then Cocker, farm out. Remember he did that? You know, so we grew up in this time when people, everyone was what? Searching for this love. And there were some wonderful groups came on the scene at that time, the Navigators. InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they began to mingle with these college groups and high school groups and say, you know, you guys are looking for love. Let us show you where it really is. And so this morning, what I would like to do is go into the scripture, as we should, and really disseminate what God wants us to do to show others what love is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we'll take a look. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that you love us, that you care so much for us. And Lord, we pray this morning you'll just teach us through your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Well, the scripture that was read this morning, and thank you so much, Larry, and thank you, Joel, for sharing this morning, was in 1 Corinthians 13. And we see there the things that are not love. And then we see the things that are love. And let me just reread a little bit, beginning in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice when something wrong happens to my neighbor in the wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. Wow. If I were to say to you, how many of you guys know that person? Raise your hand. Most of us couldn't. I don't know that person outside of Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ is all of these as we think about those wonderful things and we look at those and say, that's Christ. That's Christ. That's what Christ did for us. That's what Christ showed us as he was living here on earth. Well, this morning, I think, if I remember right, whoops, how do I go back, Brian? Whoops. Can you start me all over again? The guy that messed up with the clicker. I should not be entrusted with machines. If you can't, it's okay. Don't laugh, Sandy. It's not fair. Okay, well, there we go. All right, take your communion cup. If you didn't get a communion cup, they're on the back table. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and he's part of your life, this is an open communion. It's not closed only to members of First Baptist. It's open for everyone. And because of what Christ is, and because of what Christ displays in his love, we can take this cup and this bread this morning and be confident that this represents to us what Christ wanted it to do. You know, when he sat up in that upper room with his disciples that very first time, and he took the bread and he broke it, and he took the cup and he presented it to them, he did it out of love. There is nothing that Christ did representing himself that he didn't do out of love. Well, someone will say, what about the time he took that scourge and he went into the temple and he beat people and he threw things out and because of the love of his father's house and what had been done to desecrate it. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteousness for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. As Christ presented himself, then no one took his life. As Christ presented himself to die once for us, the unjust. Last night we had the opportunity. Sandy, and I'm not going to ask any of you what you do when you're bored. Sandy and I were singing duets along with YouTube last night. Yeah, mostly the Gaithers. And as we were going through, there was Jeff Foxworthy, and he had a Bible. And he was going to speak at a men's gathering at a brewery. The guys all got beer, you know. What a message he brought to those guys. But it all centered around our life through Christ, because Christ died for us, because, as he said, he was, Jeff Foxworthy wasn't worthy. I'm not worthy, but Christ was. So unrighteous. And so at that moment when Jesus was at the table with his followers, and he said this, and he took the bread, and would you do that with, oops, that's the wrong one. Take the biscuit or the little wafer that we have. Hold it in your hand just for a moment. As Christ was doing this, he knew everything that was happening in the days to proceed. He knew what Peter was going to be doing and what John was doing and Philip and Matthew and all the others, what they were going to be doing. And as he told them to take this to remember him, in Luke he said it so plainly, do this and remember me. Remember my love. Remember my patience. Remember all these attributes that we find in 1 Corinthians 13. Because if you remember them and know that they came from me, then you will be able to live as I have taught you to live. So this morning, as we take this, remember, and in your heart, take a time to pray. Ask God if you're not worthy this morning to forgive you. Turn away from whatever it might be that's interrupting a life that should be lived for Jesus Christ. And Jesus took the bread that same hour while they were there. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it to his disciples. He said, this is my body broken for you. Let's eat this together. They were still sitting there wondering, wow, we've never done this before in a Passover dinner. He took the cup and he blessed it. And he said something. He said, this is my blood shed for you. As often as you drink of it, remember it. I'm not going to drink it again until we all are together again. So this morning, as you drink this, as we finish drinking this, we're going to take some time in silence just for us to meditate a little bit, looking into our own lives and say, what are we doing for Jesus because of all that he's done for us? Let's drink this together. Thank you, Father, for the sacrifice of Jesus. Lord, for the love that was poured out for us, we thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, now, if you would, you turn to John chapter 4. We're going to be looking at that story, the very first part of the chapter of that woman at the well. And you say, well, that's a big jump from 1 Corinthians, Pastor, all the way back to John chapter 4. You know what? It's not. I'm going to ask a question here. How many of us are deterred? We're stopped. It's like we're going down a road and there's an opportunity to do something for Jesus, and it's like a stop sign comes up and we don't do it. We don't do it maybe because, I'm going to list a couple reasons here. Maybe because in the past I've been criticized. Oh, do you know that guy? Go back to the 60s, a Jesus freak. I bet they don't say that anymore. They might. He's a Jesus freak, man. You know, let's stay away from him. Maybe you've been criticized and you say, you know what? I'm not going to testify. I'm not going to show love because, people would not like it. You know, Maybe you're like a friend of mine who used to work in the oil fields in Oklahoma. And he'd work a 12-hour day or a 15-hour day, and he'd come home and he would tell me, he'd say, you know what, I had an opportunity on the way home. I was just too tired. I'm dead. And I was sitting at the gas station. There's an opportunity to say something to somebody, but I just thought, oh my, I'm too weary. You know? Maybe there's been the time when it's just been somebody that, ooh, they're different than me. I received some flack. I was in a church as a pastor one time, and I met with the gay people in town on Tuesday morning at a coffee shop. And we talked about Jesus. And you know, somebody in my church came to me one time and said, you got to stop that. I said, why? Those people? You want people to think you're sitting with them at a table. What will people think? I really didn't care, you know. But so maybe it's because somebody's different. Maybe they're a different color. You know? Maybe they speak a different language, and I don't know if I talk to Raul what he's going to say. You know? I learned some Spanish when I was in Florida. I learned, but I can't say it today because I don't have it in front of me, but it says, fasten your seatbelt. I learned that. And the flotation device is under the seat. I learned both of those phrases in Spanish while I was going. They were right in front of me on the airplane, you know. Maybe not only are they a different person, but you know what? You're not at home. You're traveling. You know, and it's difficult. You know, I'm traveling. I don't have time to, you know, talk. I'm on vacation. Well, let's look at something here in chapter 4. Reasons Jesus might not have taken time. I'm going to read chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 for you, and we're going to go over these. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to the town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there. So Jesus was weary as he had from his journey, and he sat down beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour or noon. So look at this. We've got Jesus traveling. You know what? Folks were critical of him. He could have had his feelings hurt. Those Pharisees were always on him. What is that Jesus guy doing now? Did you see what Jesus just did? How come his disciples are out there in the river baptizing alongside John? We got to figure this guy out. Oh, man, some of us, there's just so much criticism we can take, and you know what, that just kind of blows us out of the water. Jesus had taken a lot of criticism. He could have just said, he did get out of there, but he might have just said, I don't even want to talk to anybody else today. I've said that. I've been there. As a pastor, there have been times when I've been in the study, I've been studying, and then there's a phone call, then there's a counseling session, then there's this, and finally I say to Sandy, I'm going to go hide. I don't want anybody else to know where I am. I wish I had a boat sometime like Jesus did so I could just go far away on the ice. No, in the water. He was tired. Jesus, like us, was a man. He had physical things going on with him, and he was tired. And he, in that state, sometimes we just say, you know what, we use the T-O-O word, too tired. I am just too tired to do that. I mean, as a young people, I know none of your children do that, Delilah and Raul, but I've heard of children that say, oh, Mom, I can't do that. I'm too tired. You know? Nobody's ever done that to a boss, I'm sure. You know, I'm too tired to get that done today, boss, but maybe next week. No, we probably don't do that. But there are those times in our lives then we just think, well, we're too tired. Jesus was pretty tired. He'd walked a long way. It was already noon. The sun's out. It's hot. You know, and of all the things I want to do, I surely don't want to share anything now. I don't want to take time to, you know, Jesus didn't think this, but if we were him, we may have. I don't want time to heal anybody. I don't want to take time to do a counseling session with a disciple. I'm glad they're not here. They're off doing something else. You know, he was in a strange area. No, he wasn't. He created it. It wasn't strange to him. He's the hand that made it. But sometimes for us, in a strange area, on vacation, those are some of the things that could have kept me from showing love. Could have kept maybe some of you from giving you maybe an excuse not to do what you know Jesus wants you to do. I've, since last week, some pastors before me in that wonderful study that you provide for me have put up a piece of plexiglass that I can write on. And I used to write the day a schedule on there for a little bit, and I got tired of doing that. And so I took three markers together. You put markers together, and then you can make really neat wide strokes. And I just put the word vision across it with a question mark. And every day when I begin my prayer, I say, Lord, what should be my vision today? Because as Jesus was going into this situation, of course, he knew what was going to happen. No surprises to Jesus. He didn't say, whoa, what is a woman doing out here at noon? She should have been here 4 hours ago getting the water for the day. Why? No, he didn't. He knew, didn't he? I'm asking God that he prepares my mind, my heart, with a vision each day. And it's so cool the way he does it. I began to pray. The guest speaker that you had 2 weeks ago, John, he called me up and he had some things to talk about. And he said, how do you preach to those people that are way over there and in the back? Man, he talked about Ravi for about an hour. He doesn't like it. No, he likes it. Yeah, I had a good time. And then you've got people way over here and six people up. Nobody up in the balcony. That's good. I say, John, it's the most difficult thing I've ever done. I'd rather just look at that little Mevo box and preach. But, you know, he said, that's difficult. And, you know, and I said, well, John, you know, they're kind of neat people. I began praying right back there. I pray with all those people in the back that are usually there. Flora, where's Flora today? Oh, she's over here. Okay. And I began to pray. You guys are last. No, sometimes I do it the other way around. And as I'm praying, I take time to let God give me a vision about you. All of you, things to do, and things that God would have me do for you. And last week was just a really kind of special, neat week. And so Jesus, going here, sitting at the well, knew this lady was going to come out. And he said, there, here she comes. And she's thinking, I bet he's surprised to see me. And Jesus said, you know what, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. Could you draw me a little water? Oh my. We, most of us, grew up in a day of segregation. And I was thinking about those days in the 60s and even some into the 70s. And what she said to Jesus was, why do you... You know who you are and where you're from. Ask me, you know who I am and where I'm from, for water. He took time to talk to somebody that, most people wouldn't talk with. You know, I have had the opportunity since I've been here. This is a cool town, you guys. I like it. I think you all do too, or you probably would have moved away by now. You know, but so many opportunities to serve Jesus. And, you know, and some of those opportunities come with people that other folks aren't talking to. I stopped and talked to a guy the other day. It was really cold out, and I pulled the window down. It happened to be a black gentleman, and I rolled my window down. I said, hey, brother, it's cold out here. Get in. I'll give you a ride. And he looked at me like, what is wrong with that white man? And I said, it's really cold. I said, where are you going? And he told me where he's going. Wasn't that far, 10 blocks, 12 blocks down there, you know, on the other side of town. I said, get in. What's your name, man? You know, and his name happened to be Larry. I said, oh, man, not too many good guys named Larry in this town. I said, nice to meet you. You know, we got talking. We got almost there. And, you know, God didn't bring out any opportunity for me to just say, you know, Jesus Christ died for your sins, Larry, and now it's time to come to repentance and turn from your... I said, hey, you want to get a cup of coffee? No, can't today. I've got to be here. I've got to take care of something. I said, can you have a cup of coffee Monday morning? He said, a group of us guys get together and talk about Jesus at 9 East. And he looked at me, and I said, you wouldn't be the only black guy. Just wanted to make him feel a little comfortable. Another black guy comes. He says, yeah, see you Monday morning. Who knows? Who knows? But because he wasn't like me, I didn't stop him. Because Jesus knew this woman was going to be a Samaritan woman, he didn't say, well, I'll just wait till she's done here, and then I'll... He could have made the water come up. You know, he's going to went, whoop. He didn't need that lady. Remember that. Jesus doesn't need us. He lets us be used by him for his glory. So here they are, and Jesus does. You know the story. She talks about the living water. I've come to give living water, and whoever drinks this water will never die. And she finds the joy of it, runs back into the city, tells her friends. Let's go on to the... I got another slide about all of that. I said, yeah, there it is. You know, Jesus began by what? Asking for a drink, and it ended with her receiving forgiveness of her sin. And others from the town were intrigued. They approached Jesus. He stayed in the town about 2 days. And because of what Jesus shared with them, many became believers. Her testimony led to their salvation. Isn't that kind of cool to think that what we do for others can lead for them leading others to Jesus? There's that song that we don't sing much anymore, but about, you know, thank you for giving to the Lord. Now, I really, truly think that there are going to be people in heaven that we don't know that say, thank you. You told him, and he told her, and he became a pastor, and then he led them to the Lord. And then I received Christ on a doorstep when he knocked on my door one day and just wanted to talk. The big thing about her is that her sin did not faze Jesus. The sin that she had in her life didn't cause him to go, oh, five husbands? We all know that person. I've got a brother that's had how many wives? A bunch. You know, three or four. No, three, I think, is all. You know, and there are people that go, oh, you have a brother that has wives. I say, not at the same time, you know. Spread them out over 25, 30 years. You know, but I'm not taken back and don't ever call my little brother Rob and say, because he's done that. He's my brother. I did something this last week I have never done. Woodstocks are not mushy people. Mushy people. We're not. Generally, I'm more than some of my brothers. I had a brother that had a birthday. And he is a coffee guy. And Sandy and I were in Florida. Long story short, I bought some really special coffee for him. Shipped it to him. Birthday card. Happy birthday to my you brother. You know. And then the bottom, I did this. I said, I know I'm not supposed to because I'm a Woodstock. And this is kind of mushy. But I love you, brother. I don't know if I've ever told him that before. And he's 70 years old today, tomorrow. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? So what Christ did here was what? Show love. It's that simple, folks. He showed love. And then not too long after that, of course, ultimate love. Sacrifice for all on the cross. You know, I've written down here, it shows Christ loved the world. And the fact that all of these things were done through his entire ministry. There's not one time in Jesus' ministry where because of standing in the community, gender, race, or marital status, monetary standing, that Jesus ever made a distinction. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Excuse me. What's next? All right, I got to tell you this, okay? Don't laugh. Some of you are Baptists. I know that. Well, I think most of you are Baptists. And I grew up in a Baptist church. And we were not allowed to have visions or say amen during the sermon. Okay, two things we just couldn't do. Well, last week I told you that every week this month I was going to give away a box of chocolate. Never know what's in a box of chocolate. No, that was Forrest Gump said that. I'm swimming last Monday night. I do 1 hour, and I can't swim freestyle yet because of my accident, so I'm doing the backstroke, an hour and a half. Hour 20 is the longest I've ever gone. And I'm about halfway through the pool down here at Lifestyles, and God said, stop. And I stopped swimming. He said, no, silly, not swimming. Stop, I want to talk to you. Listen to me. And it wasn't a voice, okay, I didn't hear a voice. He said, that thing you said about the candy, that's stupid. And what? He said, well, didn't you tell the people to have visions that were huge? I said, yeah. He said, your vision's not huge. Your vision's a little bitty one, about this big. He said, I'm a God about this big. Here's what I would like you to do. Whoa, so what we're going to do this morning is what I believe God would have us do as we begin to show more and more love to the folks in Freeport, Illinois. Oh, good. Right time, right on. I would like a member from each household to come up and get a box of candy. If you're the only person right now in your household, that's you. But one, this is not, and this candy's not for you, but you're going to hold it for a moment. So one person from each household come up and get a box of candy. Please, right now, so we don't take 10 minutes, all right? And if some, yeah, one, okay, there's somebody getting one for the, okay, just grab one. Go back to where you were sitting and stay standing. Okay, would you get one for Carol too, Dana? Okay, good. Should be enough if I figured this correctly. One for each family. Everybody got in the family have one? Sandy, you get one for us if there's enough? I thought there was. Okay. I think somebody got one for you guys. Okay, good. You got one? Adele has one? Okay, good. All right, good. All right, now stay standing. I started the sermon by saying that this box of candy in most of the time represents love. You know, somebody said, here you go. Next week, I'm going to show you up here a Valentine card that I gave Sandy in second grade. Hey, hooray for Arch. You know, and I didn't even love her a lot then. I liked her a lot, but I didn't love her. This box is going to represent our love to someone in the community. Our track is on there. So, oh, Pastor, I couldn't do that. Oh, how am I going to do that? That's so scary. Yeah, we're going to do that because we're going to have Ravi come. Ravi's going to pray that we'll have the boldness, we'll have the love, and we'll have the vision. You don't have to say much here. I love Jesus, and I love you. You can even blame it on the pastor. Our pastor said that we needed to do this. That's okay. I'll take the blame for that, but you won't. Ravi, come and lead us in a word of prayer of dedicating not this candy, but our lives to Jesus, that we reflect him.
I have to thank Pastor for this week and last week. He challenged us. Last week, actually, he said, we know the ultimate goal, but what is the vision? How we get there? What are our next steps? I've been praying for that, for our church, and also for us as individuals. And this week, he challenged us to show love and share love of Jesus Christ. And so I want to pray that God gives us opportunities and boldness to share the love of Christ. Let's pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. We are here in your house to thank you, to praise you, to worship you. Lord, thank you for your unconditional love that you shed your son, you sent your son for my sins when I was still a sinner. Lord, thank you for that love that you have shown to me. Lord, help me to share this love with others that I come across this week, this month, and my whole life. Lord, not to find the reasons not to share your love, but to find a reason to share your love. Lord, give us the strength to do that as individuals and as the church. Lord, I pray that you lead us, guide us, help us to share your love to the ones that don't know you. I commit all of us into your mighty hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And ladies, would you come and lead us in our last song? I want you to know that there's nothing on the back of that track. All the other tracks we have are printed with First Baptist Church or something. There's nothing on the back of that track. It's up to you. I thought that'd give you just a little bit more of a challenge on what to tell folks and what you do. Thank you. Together, would you? Thank you so much, ladies. That was wonderful. They will or they do or they don't. Let's make sure that this week we are out there serving Jesus so that they will know we are Christians by our love. Give everybody a shoulder bump or elbow bump, even though they're far away. We haven't had a really good welcome time because since COVID. So, come on, everybody, elbow up. Come on. Yeah, there's no, there you go. Let's praise God for what we've been able to sing and hear and because of his word and now what we can do as we go from this place to show Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Let that be evident in every part of our walk and our talk and our service for you. Dismiss us now because you're the God of the universe who grants us breath each day. And strength, Lord, to serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.